I'm teaching a mostly evangelical crowd, although there are many LCMS members, about the means of grace. Is that mostly a Lutheran terminology, or do other denominations use that concept? Means of grace is not a Lutheran terminology really at all. It does get used in some Lutheran resources. It really is a Reformed way of talking about the word and the sacraments. And in that way, it is not a very specific thing. It's just sort of a catch-all for the idea that God doesn't come to us immediately, but comes to us mediately through other things. But then how you would define that mediation, right? Whether it's an ordinance, a covenant, a sign, a seal, or a mystery, the Reformed are going to view that one way, which allows them to say Jesus is not on the altar. Jesus does not go into your mouth. The Lutherans, clearly our issue with the Roman Catholics is we believe that Jesus is on the altar. Jesus goes into the mouth. The rest of the evangelical world, they're going to agree with the Reformed that Jesus is not on the altar, that Jesus does not go into the mouth, but they don't believe the altar really does anything other than what you bring to it when you remember things. And there's layers of that. For our part, I would say that the Reformed view is actually the same as the other views, and my proof of that is they still commune with each other. Whereas those who take a more serious view of the sacrament, that is believing it really does something, tend to practice some form of closed table, wherein they say, we don't just let anybody come in and say, I believe, and they come in, they have to actually engage the pastor and believe something before they can just walk up to the table. Something that we might think of instead of, Lutherans don't really have, I mean, we got word and sacrament. You know, we say word and sacrament. What does that mean though? Something I was thinking about just this morning is that the Lord's Supper is the proximity of God's promises, right? Baptism is the proximity of God's promises. That is, they are the promises of God coming closer to you. We also would say this about the word. This is why taking the Bible, opening it, and reading it out loud so you hear it, that is the proximity of God's promises. They are close to you. And so what we believe as Lutherans is that wherever God's promises are in proximity to you, God is in proximity to you. And those promises are true for you. The Reformed means of grace view will say that, but then also say Jesus is in heaven and not here. He's in heaven. He has to stay in heaven. He can't be here because he's a human body, and human bodies can only be in one place at one time. So using some kind of plausible thinking, they'll make the proximity of Jesus only partial. I've talked about this before. The Word of God, as opposed to being the Holy Spirit, is more like showing you where to look for the Holy Spirit. That's the Reformed view. I would say, again, the Word of God is the Holy Spirit, right? We emphasize God's the actor, Christ the Savior, and the Spirit is the inspirer. He goes into you. He doesn't just come out of you. He goes into you. How? The word itself, yeah, which is Christ who became flesh. And then when Christ says, take, eat, this is my flesh, I mean, it goes into you. You are inspired by this very true reality. Without flesh, you held that up earlier as a book, which I wrote largely to, you know, what's the subtitle? Why the Church is Dying Even Though Jesus is Still Alive. And I think for the American Christian mindset, you know, we came here city on a hill trying to make this place a Christian country, and yet we took Christ out of the middle and said, no, he's not really here. It's up to us. And well, you see what we've turned it into is a place where reason has become completely unreasonable. Remember that inside of you is a defector, and that God comes to serve you. He doesn't need you to serve him. That's what divine service means. That's why Lutherans talk about the divine service as opposed to worship, although we definitely do still worship and praise his holy name. I should also mention, so one of the main kind of problems that the evangelical will have with sacramental teaching, that is the proximity of Jesus in bread and wine and in the water, is this idea that those are material things and that material things can't do spiritual things. I don't know what kind of ship they fell off of, but you are a human body that has a spirit inside of it. You are like literally material and spiritual at the same time. So to think that God can't do this other places is very strange. You might remember the way we fell was by eating something. So it'd be weird to say we fell by eating, but you can't be saved by eating. You see what I'm saying? There's a point at which the reason becomes unreasonable and just becomes obstinate, wanting to hold your own position because you don't want to be wrong, because you need to justify what you already said or something. And then look at that. Look where you are. Self-justification at the end of that thing. So the nice thing about the Lord's Supper is it's entirely outside of you. The Spirit guaranteed as a deposit. And all you can do is believe it. And if you don't, well, that's weird. It's really weird. Why would you not?